and the food you eat in order to do all of those things. Those are things that the world cannot do. If you'll open your Bible with me to the book of Philippians, chapter 4, I want you to look at, I'm going to look at verse 8. If you take notes, I've entitled the message, Spiritual K-Rations. Spiritual K-Rations. Paul writes, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, and if there is any virtue and if there is any praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Before we look at our text, let's bow our heads and ask the Holy Spirit to help us understand it better. Spirit of God, we come to you in thanksgiving for all of the Word of God, because it is the only truth in this world. And as we look at this one section of it, we pray that you'd open up our minds and our hearts to it. And help us, Lord, those of us that know Christ, help us to glean from this this message something we can use in our life. Help us to understand that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word from the mouth of God. Help us, Lord, to use that application, take it and use it this week. And for others, we pray again, if you, there's one listening who doesn't know Jesus Christ as their Savior, we pray that this message would go out and you would use it to convict their hearts and that and open their minds and hearts to their sin. And Lord, maybe if it pleases you, God, even call them into your kingdom. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Spiritual K rations. As I've said many, many times, what goes on in the physical world has a spiritual equivalent. It mirrors it, even when it comes to feeding soldiers. Now, a K ration is a small box of food that's packed with high calories. And if you were in the military, you know you had to eat them, you experienced them. And they're not the best tasting, but they are very nutritious. And not only did it have a main course, it also, many of them had desserts. They packed with chocolate bars, fruit bars, and a bunch of other sweets were added to it. And it was made, those K-rations were made specifically to strengthen soldiers on combat missions, soldiers who were in the field, soldiers who were fighting. So they packed it with a lot of protein and other necessary ingredients to keep them strong. In the spiritual world, saints, I don't know if you got the memo of that or not, but we are soldiers. We are spiritual Christian soldiers. In the same way, in the military, we're soldiers. 2 Timothy 2:3 says, gives us the proof first for that. Share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. Remember this, that when you go to war, any war, there's always suffering. And as a Christian, nowhere in the Bible does it say, once you become born again, you will not suffer anymore. It doesn't say that. As a matter of fact, it says the opposite. It is a gift. For Philippians 1:29 said, it is given unto you to suffer. And if you look it up in the original Greek language, that word given to you means gifted to you. Because what does suffering do? What does suffering do if you're a Christian soldier? What does it do? It builds you up. It's like in the gym. You go to the gym, no pain, no gain. As a Christian soldier, we do suffer for our faith, and also just living in a dark, dead world. Now, our marching orders as soldiers is found in Ephesians 6:12. Turn there with me in your Bibles, Ephesians 6:12. I want to have you look at this because I want to make a point about fighting. Because when you talk about fighting, it opens up a lot of carnal thoughts, and I don't want that to happen. Ephesians 6:12 says, Paul writes, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. And I want to stop there. That's what he's saying. He's saying we're not getting in fist fights with people. It's not about fighting that way. Instead, he goes on to say, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. And what that all adds up to is spiritual warfare every day. If you're a believing Christian, if you're living a Christian life every single day, you're going to fight. You're going to fight the good fight of faith. And the Lord of hosts provides you and I as his soldiers, as his Christian soldiers. He provides us with spiritual rations so we can fight the good fight of faith. You can't fight without being fed. And every single day when you go to work or when I go to work, whatever we do, we have to do it biblically. We're trying to live a biblical life. And to do that, you need spiritual strength. And guess what? This is the pantry right here. The Bible is the pantry that holds all the spiritual K-rations every believer needs. The Bible. Period. There's no other source. Why? Because the Bible is the truth. There's no other truth. How do we know the Bible is the truth? It's been around over, 3,000, 4,000 years. Doesn't have any yearbooks. Doesn't have to be updated. You know why? Because the truth never changes. And because the truth never changes, we know this is the only thing that never changes, God's word. And that's our food pantry as Christian soldiers. Every day, you and I are going to walk through this dark, dead world that's hostile to us. They're hostile to our faith. You've probably read about the people who are street preachers and pastors who are reading the Bible being arrested. That's hostility. 100 years ago, 50 years ago, that would have never happened. But the world is getting more and more hostile. So we need to be filled. As Christian soldiers, you need to be filled with the milk, meat, and fruit that we find in God's word. If you're going to press on, as he says in Philippians 3:14, press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. If I'm going to press toward the goal every day, the goal of living a Christocentric life, of trying to stay in the middle of God's will as I live in this world, if I'm going to do that, I'm going to have to fight. And the biggest fight I'm going to have is always with myself, always with myself. And it's only when we feed on the spiritual K rations that are in scriptures can you find the power, the strength to win life's battles and glorify God. And let me tell you why I say the word win, because there are a lot of people who claim Christ, who live nominal lives. They struggle with everything. They don't have the hope that they should have. They don't have the strength that they should have. Why? It isn't because this book doesn't have the nutrition they need. It's simply because they're not using the book. It simply means that they're using something else. They're not on the same page. They're not in the pantry. They're not digging and looking for something. I said to somebody this morning, I said, you know, when you pray for something with God, the important thing that you do is you have to anticipate it. You have to anticipate him answering. I said, as an example, if you got a letter in the mail or a phone call from the state saying, listen, we just found some money that we owe you, and it's going to be about $40,000 or $30,000 or $40,000, we're going to be sending you a check. And I said to them, guess what you'd be doing every single day after that call? You'd be looking in your mailbox. You'd be waiting for the postman. You'd be looking for it every day. Do we do that when we pray? Do we do that when we say, God, help me? Do we look for that help? Do you put your hand out and pray and say, Lord, fill my hand with the blessings that you have? Would you do that, Lord? I ask you in Jesus' name. And then if you keep your hand there and you're doing this and you're doing this, you're not looking at your hand. You're not expecting it. So what does Jesus say when you pray? What are you supposed to do? Believe. Anticipate is another way of saying believe. That's what you have to do in warfare as well. You have to believe that this book can feed you. You have to believe that this book will carry you through any battle you're going through. Any battle. I don't care what it is. Up to death itself. Doesn't the Bible say in 1 Corinthians 15, oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? You don't die. You simply transfer from this realm to the spiritual realm. That's all it is. We have a sister that just came from a foreign country and watched the natives. They're not Christians, but they believe in an afterlife. Why? Because it's written on the hearts of man, the Bible says. We know it. So if you're not eating from this book every day, not taking something with you, do you not take stuff and put it in your car? Do you not bring water? Do you not bring snacks? Here's a snack that'll never let you down. It'll never let you down. That being said, it's important to understand that our victory in Christ and in this world is won or lost. You know where it's won or lost? Not in the field. It's won or lost in our mind. Before any battle begins, we either win it or lose it, because we go through the battle in our mind every day, don't we? And that's because what we think before a battle dictates our emotions, attitude, and actions. I told you, you get two boxers in the ring, same weight class, same cardio, same trainer, same everything. The one that wins is the one that wins in his mind. The one that says, I don't care who you are, you're losing. And takes that attitude into the fight. We face adversity every single day. Adversity with fear and doubt in our mind, and we lose the heart to fight when we do that. We disarm ourselves. We take away our advantage because we lose in our mind. We say, well, this isn't going to happen. Negativity does that, doesn't it? Negativity will drain the power from you. We mentally defeat ourselves before the battle even begins. I can tell you from firsthand experience for myself personally, I never defeat myself. Before I was saved, I thought I did. I'd think twice a little bit, but I don't think twice now. What can defeat a believer? What can defeat you? Can Satan defeat you? What does the Bible say? Resist the devil and he'll flee. Can death defeat you? I just said it. Oh, grave, where is thy victory? Oh, death, where is thy victory? Oh, grave, where is thy sting? Nothing can defeat you in this world. The Bible said, if God is for you, who can be against you? Who? You see, our thoughts, and this is important for many people listening here and online, our thoughts shape our reality. I want to say that again. Our thoughts shape our reality, and our life tends to move in the direction of our strongest thoughts. Isn't that true? So it's critical. It's absolutely critical that we win the battle of the mind before we face the reality of life's battles. What you think plays an active role in how you live your life. Your religion, as I've said many times, is really a spiritual attitude. No different. And if you have an attitude of victory in your life, because this book says that you're victorious, who can separate us from the love of God? Nothing. Zero. Nothing. You have the victory. And if you want to win those battles, you must remove and you must replace any sinful negativity, any doubts, and you must replace that with faith. Faith in the promises that God, who cannot lie, has given you. And you know what? If you are a believer, you've tasted the grace of God already? And if you've tasted the grace of God, how could you not believe? Better question, why would you not believe? What I'm saying is that the sword of truth and your attitude, the sword of truth must be unsheathed in our minds before we enter the battlefield of life. You have to get the victory in your head before you can get it in the flesh. That's the bottom line. Only then, only when you can do that, only when you can replace the negativity or any other doubting thought in your mind about God or about what God will do for you, only when you do that can you claim the victory in Christ over evil. You can't do it without it. Luke 10:19. Behold, this is Jesus telling his disciples. He's telling you and you and you and you and you. He's saying this. Behold, Brian, Jerry, Wink, I have given you authority to tread on scorpions and serpents and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. Nothing. That is a promise that God gives every one of his children. It doesn't matter what you're fighting. You can fight the devil. He's nothing. What does the Bible say in 1 John? Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The devil can't beat up the Holy Spirit. He can't beat up Christ. And you're in them. The world can't beat you. The only one that can actually beat you is you. That's it. And you are your own worst enemy. And the only way you're ever going to defeat that enemy is to eat the Special K rations that's in this book every day. And I'm going to get to that in a minute. Only when you give up the negativity in your life, the hesitance in your life, the things that you do that every day are just habitual, that really don't have any meaning in your life, when you put a lot of things in your head that doesn't belong there, only then do you have victory over the world. 1 John 5:4 says, for everyone who is born again of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Do you understand that? This world is overcome by you through your faith. Only then, when your mind is clear and your heart is clean, can you be victorious over your flesh. That's how you get to the flesh. Galatians 5:16 says, I say, walk in the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. It's that simple. Walk in the Spirit. What does that mean? That means every day when you get up, take something out of this book and bring it with you. Consider it a spiritual takeout. Put it in your head, put it on, write it on your hand, write it on a piece of paper, take it everywhere with you. And every time you feel the flesh jumping in or trying to take control of the conversation or of your life, use that verse to kill it. That's spiritual warfare 101, right, Wink? 101. It's only when we've been strengthened by the spiritual K-rations that are in God's word that we will be more than conquerors through him who loved us. That's what being more than a conqueror is. It means not just getting a victory. It means getting a victory and moving on and getting more victories. It never stops. And the only thing that does stop it, if it does, is you. With all that in mind, let's look at our text. Here Paul sums up everything. He sums up everything he had previously said. And it's here we find these spiritual K rations to strengthen us as Christian soldiers. Read it with me in Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, and if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The Lord gave me this message, and after I'd finished praying and I was going to get Wendy a coffee, I had read it, and the thought occurred to me that this was a small sampling of things that we can do in our life to help us be victorious over this life. If we look at the first one, now I want to unwrap the first one for you. He says, whatever things are true. And by the way, all of these things are written in the imperative tense in the Greek, which means they're commands. These are not optional. They're not optional. Command, the first one is whatever things are true. The command is to focus our life or focus our eyes on the truths of using God's word as a standard. We go through life every day and you have to make decisions. You have to decide if this is what I want to do. Well, does it line up with what I should do? I have to do this over here. Should I do that now or later? What does God's word say about that? That's a standard. Don't we measure our lives by standards now, carnal standards? Don't we do that? Well, God wants us to use his standard. This is a standard, and this is the standard is the truth. That's why this is to be used as the standard, because there is no other truth. Has anybody ever found a truth that was as obvious as this book being never changing? You know, when they changed the laws in Connecticut, I couldn't believe it. When they changed the same-sex marriage laws and all those other things, I asked a politician who was going door to door once. I said, I have a question for you. Can you tell me how 5 years ago there was a law that said if I did this, I go to jail, I'd go to prison? And now nothing has changed, but 5 years later, it's okay to do this. I'll legislate that law in so you can do that. Can you tell me what that's about? Is that a truth? Is that law, was that law a truth back then? Or is it a truth now? You can't have it both ways. So it ends up not being a truth at all. Whatever this book tells us, it never tells us in any other way to do it any other way, and it hasn't done it for thousands of years. It's the truth. And all your life as a believer should have that as the standard of if it's the truth or not. It also gives us the idea of looking at things as they really are, not as you imagine them. Don't we do that? How many of us I told you about the fence, but how many of us look at things before they happen and say, well, you know, I think this is going to go bad. I don't know, but I think it's going to go bad. What does that do to your mindset? What does it do? It defeats you. Or what if, well, this is going to go good, and then it doesn't go good. What does that do to your mindset? How do you deal with the actual reality of a situation if before you get there, you've already presumed something will or will not happen, and if it doesn't work out the way you planned, what does that do for your mindset? It defeats you. That's the simple answer. And that term, whatever things are true, also implies that we should walk and live in a manner that's consistent with your new identity as a new creature in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature. You're not the same person as you were before. And if you are, then you're not saved. It's simple. Then none of this is going to make any sense to you. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says the natural man doesn't understand the spiritual things of God. They're foolishness to him. The spiritual K-ration here is that living in truth, using this book as a standard, sets you free and transforms us to overcome spiritual darkness. Are you afraid of darkness? Are you afraid of things happening to you? That's what this book, the truth, tells you don't have to be. It's written 365 times, fear not. Look at the second one, whatever things are noble. Here the command is to focus on thoughts that are honorable and dignified, not trivial, not base thoughts, or scandalous. As someone I love very dearly says, garbage in, garbage out. And isn't it true? You put garbage in your head, garbage is going to come out of your head. However, thinking about things that are noble transforms our minds when we get it out of the garbage and centers it on integrity and virtue. Turn with me to Romans 12. I want to look at verse 2. This is a very well-known verse, Romans 12, 2. Here Paul writes, "Be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God and what is good and acceptable and perfect." Things that are noble. Everything in this book is noble. And what we have to do is take from this book and use that to transform our thinking, our minds. How are you doing with that? Do you do that? Do you ever have negative thoughts and you ask yourself why I'm doing that? It's really silly. Haven't you said that to yourself? It is. But more than silly, it's defeating. You have to get over that. I'm not saying look at the best. I'm not saying look at the worst. I'm simply saying look. Look at things as they are. When you look at somebody and somebody's all upset at you, don't say, wow, this person's a real bum. Look at how they're acting. Instead, look at them in love and say, this person has some problems in their life and I'm going to love them. I'm not going to take it personally. That's the difference of a mindset. This whole message is about your mind, and it's about where it is, and it's about transforming it from where it is to where it should be most of all the time, but certainly most of the time. Because none of us really get our minds where that should be every single day. We're never going to do that. But the more we try, the greater effort we make, the greater success that we have. And if you win the war in your mind, does it even matter if you win it in reality? Because you've already won the war completely with that cross. You've won it all. There's nothing left to win except every day. Somebody once said that we as Christians, that Christ overcame everything in this world. He got the victory for everything. And we're like the Marines that go in after, or the Army that goes in after the Marines. And what we do is we just clean up. And what we're doing is we're cleaning up ourselves. We're being conformed to the image of God. It's that simple. Let's look at the other thing, the spiritual. Oh, it's still on focus on things that are noble. The spiritual K ration for this is noble, thinking on things that are noble. It's an antidote for negative and immoral thoughts. Negative and immoral thoughts. If you think of things that are noble, you're not going to think of negative things because you're thinking of noble things. There's daffodils up here, right, Wendy? There's daffodils are up. Take a ride after church up there and look at God's grace. That's noble. That's what he put out there. He put out there something beautiful for you to look at. Look in the mirror. Look at how God created you and how wonderfully you're made. When you get sick, your body heals. I was talking to one of our one of my brothers about heart surgery, and you know, if you have a, I had a, for me, I had a blocked artery, 100% blocked. So what did he do? God grew two veins around each side of that artery that was blocked. He said, that's why you didn't feel any pain. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. We regenerate when things break. We can regenerate things. We have to think about that stuff. Instead of all the stuff that's in this world that wants to fill your mind. He next adds in our list, whatever things are just. That's a command, not just for avoiding evil. It's an order for us to walk in righteousness and moral integrity. You're a Christian. You need to walk according to your calling. You were called out of the world and into the kingdom of God. And you need to walk that way. You need to act that way. You need to show that the world that that's who you are. And that's also a mental thing, is it not? Philippians 2:3 talks about our personal conduct, because we're talking here about the being just. In Philippians 2:3, it says, "Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility, count others more significant than yourself." You know what a wonderful thing that is to do? How many times do you think of other people over yourself? For example, doing something for somebody instead of yourself. Taking time, that's a perfect example. How many of us take time to help other people? It could be a phone call, it could be a visit, it could be a coffee run. But how many of us do that? That's really what it means. That's really what it means when it says that we're to be just. Do nothing from selfish ambition. What about, next thing is, what about things that are pure? This is a command that speaks to actively choosing to fill your mind with positive, wholesome, godly thoughts. You know, back in the day, there's always been evil. We know that. But back in the day, I'm going back to the 50s, around that time, things were altogether different, weren't they? If you were here, if not, go on YouTube, pick up Leave It to Beaver, pick up Lucy and Desi Arnaz. Pick up those things. There was no foul language. There was no sexual innuendos. There was nothing but wholesome laughter. And that's what it's saying, things that are pure. Turn off the internet to start with. Find information that's spiritually and morally uplifting, that's spiritually and morally clean. Some uplifting material is, there's a book, I'll give it to you, Born Crucified. Read that if you want to bump up. The Sovereignty of God by A.W. Pink. Read that. That'll really lift your spirits. And there's so many other books outside of the Bible that all speak of the truth and the purity of Scripture. That's what you want to keep your mind focused on. Don't keep it focused on who's lying and who's not lying. I'm on the red or I'm on the blue. Don't do that. That's a sin. You are in the world, but you're not of the world. You need to clear your mind. You need to clean your mind out. And the best way today is to turn off the internet. I use the internet all the time. What I do in the internet is I look up for information about the Bible. And you know what the funny thing about that is? I have to go to three places before I believe anybody. And two of them have to match up. And then I have to read it in here and with a commentary. That's the only way I can believe anything that's on the internet. Turn off the internet. And when you chew on this spiritual K-ration, that is, whatever things are pure, you know what you're going to do? You're going to create a mental environment where peace thrives in your heart and produces pure purposes, words, and actions. My wife and I got rid of our regular television. We don't have any commercial. We don't watch any of that stuff. Don't watch the news. Nothing. Nothing. And our stress rate reduced by 65% just shutting it off. In Matthew 5:8, Jesus reveals what being pure does, what purity does. He said, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they'll see God." Now just imagine this, if you will, as a believer. Imagine you close your eyes and you're in heaven right now, this very minute, with whatever's in your heart. How you feel about that? I hope good. The next one is whatever is lovely. Now, that term invites us to focus on beauty, graciousness, and charming things, not just morally pure ones. It gives the idea that just as a garden needs tending, our minds must be cleared of the weeds, negativity, ugly or petty thoughts. And we need to get rid of that. We need to weed those out of our head. And we have to replace them with beautiful, God-honoring thoughts. We need to focus on things that are virtuous, things that are good, things that are righteous, things that are holy, things that bring honor to God. And listen, when you bring honor to God, there's a blessing in it for you. And that blessing is knowing that you brought honor to God. And whatever you do that brings honor to God will please him, will please you. We see a good example of that in Matthew. Turn to Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. There's a good example, and this is something we should all be doing. Matthew 5, 16. Let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Are you doing that? When something happens in your life, do people see a light shining or do they see a fire burning? Which one is it? You know. You have to understand, your flesh is trying to destroy you. I'm talking to people who claim Christ. I'm not talking to the lost. The lost, I have a message for you, a short one, in just a moment. But if you're listening to this and you know Jesus Christ is your Savior, what I'm trying to tell you is you need to have a mindset that's different than what you may have right now. You need to clean up your mind because what you think, you are what you think. And if you're thinking negative, then you are negative. If you're thinking positive, then you are positive. If you're thinking that I have these victories, then you have these victories. Jesus said, just believe. And is there anyone that can say that's not a good idea? How many people here think that being negative about things, looking back and pulling up stuff that happened 15 years ago and muddling through it, how many people think that's beneficial? I don't. So why do it? As a believing Christian, why would you do it? I did it before I was saved because I didn't know any better. And I like rummaging through all the stuff that I did, good or bad. It didn't matter. But now as a Christian, all I want to remember is that cross. I just want to remember what God did for me and what I can do for him through my life, shining my light. And that's really what it's about. That's what your mindset is about. Your religion is about your attitude. Your attitude towards God, your attitude towards sin, and your attitude towards other people. That's it. Galatians 6:10 says, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those of the household of faith. That means everybody in the world, everybody you come across in your life, you should show your light. And do good to anybody that you can, especially to children of God, especially to them. In the last section of the verse, Paul tells us how to draw the power out of these spiritual rations, how to draw the power out of them. He writes, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. You know what that means? When you meditate on the biggest thing about meditation is that you close off the world. You just go in a place where it's nice and quiet. You open up the Bible. You find some verses that speak to your heart. For example, if I were to meditate on Galatians 6:10, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone. I could meditate on that. Father, help me. Help me. Put people across my life in my path that I might do good to them, whether they know Christ or not. Help me, Lord, to help somebody get across the street. Perhaps even, Lord, help me to help somebody pay a grocery bill or help them in any way I can. Put those people in my life because I want to help everybody. You know why, Lord? Because all I do is I think about what you did for me. So I can look on one verse, let us do good to everyone. And as soon as I start thinking about me doing good to everyone as much as I can and asking God to help me do that, I immediately go to that cross. Why? Because nobody ever did me any good compared to what he did to the good to me from that cross. Listen, whether you want to believe this or not, before you're saved, you might think, I don't care if you have $1 million. I don't care if you're married and you got a boat and a car. I don't care about any of that. Without Christ, you got nothing. Zero. And the reason is because you don't even have a good attitude. You can be cheerful as a bird, all of this, but it's all about you. When you get saved, that changes. When you get saved, it's not about you anymore. It's about him, because now it's not you. It's you and him and the Father and the Holy Spirit. It's all about that, not you. And that's an amazing mindset. That's an amazing transfer from me to him. And the very moment I took my eyes off me, I saw me how I used to be, and I hated it. And the very moment I took my eyes and put it on him, I loved it. I never thought I'd ever be as a pastor, let alone standing up here talking about how great God is. Are you kidding me? But what he did was so dramatic in my life. And anybody that knew me would tell you, don't talk to Brian about God, because he's going to put you in your place real quick. And I would. I don't believe in him, and I didn't believe in him at all. I thought he was a joke. And here I'm standing up in front of you telling you that he is my Savior, my Lord. What happened? What happened was he transferred my mind. He made me see myself as I am against what I've done to him. I never saw that before. You cannot be saved until you know you're a sinner. Until you know that you've sinned against the sovereign God, and you feel the need, and not a need, you feel the desire. You can't stop. I saw a man in the pews here a couple of weeks ago crying his eyes out as the message was going on, because he saw himself as a sinner against who he sinned against, God. He saw that. That's an experience. Now, if you're listening to this and you haven't had that experience, then that simply means this: you're lost. You might think not. You might think, well, I'm doing okay. I can take care of myself. I want to tell you something, whoever you are listening, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you do not know him, you have zero. And I don't care what you own, where you live. I don't care what you do. You got zero. You know why? Because the very moment you check out of this world and check into the next world, you leave this place with just your sin. And the Bible says that if you leave this world with your sin, then you don't have eternal life. You have eternal death. And understand this. God is in hell. He's in hell. But there's no grace there. Nothing. He knows you're there. He put you there for a reason, because you sinned against him and you did not repent of your sin. Salvation is very simple. It costs you nothing except to ask him to forgive you. I cannot get over the simplicity of salvation, Wink. It is the most simplest thing in the world. Tell God you're sorry, mean it, and then take his book, eat from it, and live a better life than you could have ever lived without it. I'm far, so far ahead of where I was before, simply because I ate from this book. Changes your life. And if it doesn't change your life always, that has no purpose. What's your purpose without Christ? What are you working for? What are you eating for? What are you surviving for the next day? A love affair. Maybe I'll find somebody. Maybe I won't. Maybe I have somebody. How long is that going to last? Wink, you've been married, what, 50 years? That ain't going to last. Another 20, 30 years, Wink isn't going to be here. Neither is his wife. So that marriage goes. The love they have, that's wonderful. It's wonderful while it's here. He spent most of that with Christ, as his wife did. So he got a bonus. You got to understand that. It's a mindset. And there's nothing in the world that's more important than you to understand that if you leave this world without Jesus Christ as your Savior, you will pay your sin debt to God, and it takes all eternity, and it's a very bad place to do it. It's called the lake of fire. And you just have to understand, all you have to do is realize that you're a sinner. And if that's you, all you have to do is repent. You just have to say, Lord, forgive me. I'm so sorry, I didn't know. If you want to do that, you see me or call me, and I'll show you. If you're online, I'll show you in his word how he just wants to love you. He wants you to drop your life and pick up a new life, the same way he gave his life so that I would have life and you'll have life. It's that simple. And there isn't one thing in this book that's going to hurt you. The only thing in this book that's going to bother you is it's going to tell you that you have to give up your sin. And it says to you that you're going to sin, even as everybody sins, even saints sin. But the beauty of it is all you have to do is just say, Lord, forgive my sins. And they're gone. They're absolutely gone. All the remembrances, all the things that you did in the past, you don't care about them anymore. Because you have a new thought in your mind. Your new thought is that I want to think about things, everything that is pure, everything that is just, everything that is righteous and virtuous. I want that kind of a life. I don't want my mind in a gutter half the time or a quarter of the time, and then my mind over there on the flesh and what I want and what I want to do. I want a life that has a purpose. And the only life you'll ever have that has that is a life with Christ. If you want to know more about that, you let me know, and I'll show you in his word how he wants you. He wants you to have some spiritual K rations to strengthen and empower you to live a life that you just can't even imagine right now. Our text this morning is one of many that are filled with spiritual K rations that give God's people the power, the stamina, the strength to deal with any evil or any life situation. If you'll turn to Ephesians chapter 4, look at verse 9. I want to leave you with that. This is so important, especially if you don't have peace in your life. And by the way, the two things that are missing in this world are three things: love, hope, and peace. Look at verse 9 in Ephesians 4. Paul gives us the blessing that comes from eating God's spiritual K rations. He says, the things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do. And read that with me. What does it say? And read it. 9. Philippians 4:9. Everybody got it? Philippians 4:9. Did I do that right? Yes, Philippians 4:9. Does everybody have it? I'm not going to wait any longer. Thus saith the Lord, Philippians 4:9. The things which you have learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. And he's simply saying that everything he says in this book, chapter 4, specifically what we were just talking about, if you want to know peace, and you want to know not only peace, but you want to be blessed and know the God of peace and know that he is with you, all you have to do is eat the spiritual K rations that we talked about. And lastly, all of you have in your bulletin an insert. I'm going to be putting these in as I find them, and I thought this one would be appropriate. It says, Jesus turned the world upside down. That's what I was just telling you. And you can find this where it was said in Acts 17, 1 through 7. But listen to what he says. He says, the greatest man in history had no servants, yet they called him master. He had no degree, yet they called him teacher. He had no medicine, but they called him healer. He had no army, yet kings feared him. He had no military battles, yet he conquered the world. He did not live in a castle, but they called him Lord. He ruled no nations, and they called him king. He committed no crime, yet they crucified him. He was buried in a tomb, and yet he lives today. His kingdom is not of this world, yet it lies within the hearts of all those who believe. All of us here, He spoke of love and forgiveness, and his words have transformed millions. He's offered no material wealth, yet we consider him the treasure of our life. He promises no earthly power, yet in his name, the powerless have found strength. I pray that God gives you the wisdom to find that strength that only comes in Christ. Let's pray. Father, I do thank you for the truth, the purity of your word, the justness of it, and everything in this verse. And I do pray, Lord, for my brothers and sisters, that you help them take from this message this morning the idea that they need to work on their mindset, that they need to change their thought patterns and keep them in a spiritual sense rather than in a carnal flesh, in the carnal sense. And for the lost, Lord, oh God, I pray that this spirit, that this message convicts their spirit. And I pray, God, you might call them into your kingdom. I thank you, Lord, for all the blessings you've given us in this message. And I thank you most of all for all the blessings we have in Christ. And it's not just for now, it's forevermore. Psalm 16:11 says, at thy right hand are pleasures forevermore, O God. You prayed that we would be with you where you are. We look forward to that. Help us to leave this place and take something with us that we might glorify you and that we might grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's in his name we pray. Amen.